this little government-owned car company goes to market.
Marketplace Morning Report is produced in association with the University of Southern California.
From American Public Media in New York, good morning. I'm Jeremy Hobson. A little later this morning, shares of General Motors will trade for the first time since the carmaker went bankrupt in June of last year. GM is making its initial public offering, which is expected to be the second largest IPO ever. Marketplace's Stacey Vanek Smith is with me here in New York with more. Good morning, Stacey.
Good morning.
So we've been talking about potential strong investor reaction to this IPO. How is it shaking out?
Well, it's been pretty impressive. GM shares were sold yesterday for $33 each. That's almost $10 more per share than analysts were predicting. Today, shares start trading and GM share price is expected to go up even more. I spoke with David Cole with the Center for Automotive Research about why there's been so much hype.
What really is important to investors is the projected future earnings. And when you see the current earnings with a very tough still economy, it tells you when things improve that this is going to be a very profitable company.
GM just recently posted its first profit in more than 6 years.
Yeah, it's been quite a transformation for that company, which was asking for bailout money just over a
right.
year ago. Is this new GM, though, Stacey, that much different than the old one?
Well, I put that question to Robert Schultz with Standard & Poor's Corporate Rating. He said bankruptcy actually allowed GM to get rid of billions in debt, especially those so-called legacy costs, which were things like retirement benefits and health care.
They are not under the sort of pressure that they historically were to produce vehicles just to cover these large fixed costs that they had, a lot of employees, a lot of plants. So that should help their competitive position.
Okay, now, Stacey, the big question, will GM be able to pay the government back and finally shed that nickname, Government Motors?
Well, that's another story. GM's stock price would still have to go up by more than a third for the government to get its money back.
Okay, Marketplace's Stacey Vanek Smith here in New York. Thanks.
Thank you.
Well, GM is not the only IPO this week. A bunch of big companies backed by private equity firms are also launching stock offerings. But as Marketplace's Mitchell Hartman reports from our entrepreneurship desk at Oregon Public Broadcasting, the IPOs we're getting may not be the kind of IPOs the economy needs.
The new IPOs include consulting giant Booz Allen and Harrah's Casinos, big companies taken private by buyout firms now going public to make money for their investors. Management consultant Peter Cohen says these IPOs aren't likely to create growth or jobs.
It's really not very good news for entrepreneurship and innovation. A private equity-backed firm that's been around for decades is now going to enrich a bunch of guys who figured out a way of restructuring the balance sheet.
What would be better for the economy? IPOs from promising startups in fields like clean energy and biotech, says Mark Heeson of the National Venture Capital Association.
The vast majority of jobs are created after a company goes public.
There were just 18 venture-backed IPOs in the last 2 years, says Heeson, not nearly enough.
The venture capital community lives on the idea that a couple of their companies are going to be wildly successful, the eBays of the world.
This year, venture-backed IPOs will top 60, half of what's considered healthy. I'm Mitchell Hartman for Marketplace.
And let's do the numbers. Good to hear that music. Markets are heading back up again. In Asia, shares are up a couple percent after South Korea said it wants to put a tax on foreign bond buyers to try and minimize the flood of foreign money that's coming into emerging economies. In Europe, stocks are up as well as European leaders try and hammer out a solution to the Irish debt crisis. And on Wall Street yesterday, the Dow dropped 15 points to close at 11,007.
Marketplace Morning Report is supported by Constellation Energy, committed to customer choice and powering America's clean energy future through investments in natural gas, nuclear, wind, solar, and efficiency technologies. By The Economist, covering news and ideas from around the world and the connections between them. The Economist, on newsstands, in bookstores, and at The Economist online. And by MassMutual, with financial professionals nationwide who are trained to serve the unique financial needs of their clients at MassMutual.com.
So everyone's trying to balance the budget. We got the plan last week from the President's Deficit Commission. Yesterday there was another plan, and there'll probably be even more proposals in the coming weeks. But our economics correspondent Chris Farrell has found a disturbing trend in these deficit-cutting plans, and he joins us now. Good morning.
Good morning, Jeremy.
So what's the similarity between these plans?
Well, It's an underappreciated aspect of these plans is that they give baby boomers, the generation that has created the fiscal mess, basically a pass on fixing the problem.
They're getting off the hook. What do you mean? What are the examples of this?
It's really noticeable in the Bowles-Simpson plan. All right, yep. So they say, we're going to boost the retirement age for Social Security to age 69 by 2075. The boomers are going to be dead by then. Okay, so you're going to gradually hike the federal gas tax by 15%, all right, starting in 2013. Aging boomers, they're not going to be driving much when they're old. And, with tax reform, you eliminate the child, tax credit. Well, guess what? Hopefully, the kids are out of the house. So if you just go through all these things, it's not going to affect the boomers that much.
So why are they designing the plans this way?
The main reason is going on is that you want to protect aging boomers because they've lived under one set of rules. For example, mortgage tax deduction. Well, a lot of boomers went out there, bought a house with a mortgage tax deduction. You take it away. That seems unfair. But the thing is, the more that you protect the boomers, the more you pass the costs on to future generations. And that doesn't seem fair to me.
And, of course, the boomers are the ones who vote. Do you think that they will end up paying a price at any point in the end here?
Yes, I do. And for two reasons. One, there's going to be a lot of negotiation. And in that negotiation, boomers are going to end up paying a bigger price. But here's the real thing, Jeremy. If you look at the long-term budget deficit, the fundamental issue is the rising cost of Medicare. That's the real problem.
Yeah.
And in the end, that's where a lot of the changes are going to be. And boomers, they're starting to file for Medicare.
Marketplace economics correspondent Chris Farrell, thanks so much.
Thanks a lot.
And finally, in Idaho, a doctor has asked a county treasurer to include colonoscopy reminders in everyone's annual tax notices. Seems like a good idea, right? Well, not to the county treasurer. She denied the request because she said recommending a colonoscopy in the same envelope as a tax notice may be considered ironic. In New York, I'm Jeremy Hobson. This is the Marketplace Morning Report.
American Public Media.
Some banks do it with low fees. Some do it with fancy technology. Some just do it differently.
We've fared better in the last 3 years of a very difficult recession because we knew our customers a lot better.
I'm Kai Rizdahl. As the beleaguered banking industry looks for new business models, here's one. Know your customers on site and give your profits to charity. Our series Economy 4.0 next time on Marketplace from American Public Media.
The world can be a confusing place for kids, and finding the words to explain it all can be tricky, too. Introducing Million Bazillion, a Webby-winning podcast from Marketplace that takes your kids on exciting adventures to answer the awkward and complex questions they have about money. Each week, we tackle hard-hitting inquiries from kid listeners like,
what is a college account and how does it work?
I want to know what unions are and what they are for.
Why does the U.S. have so much gold in Fort Knox and what do they use it for?
Help your kids understand how money fits into the world around us. Listen to Million Bazillion wherever you get your podcasts.